Jude, the 8th verse, if you all stand with me for the reading of the Bible. Begin at verse number 8 and read down through verse number 11. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, there's something that ought to be said and needs to be said on a regular basis, dear God, on a Sunday morning in a Baptist church. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us as we clarify once again plainly, clearly from the Scriptures, this matter of salvation by grace through faith. May we learn to beware of the way of Cain. May we understand it for what it is. And Lord, if there's someone here that's never truly received Jesus Christ, I mean Bible salvation, I pray today is the day that they'll be saved. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Years ago, I did a series on a Wednesday night, I think. Maybe it was a Sunday night. But I did a Bible study series on what I called the 13 most notorious villains of the Bible. The 13 most notorious villains of the Bible. One of the villains that we covered was a man by the name of Cain. Here in this verse, verse number 11, all three of these men that are mentioned ended up on that list of 13 most notorious villains. Now, I won't try to reteach that, obviously, but every single one of these men made the list because of some great damage that they did, not just that they did to themselves, but some great evil that they propagated that affected other people and destroyed other people as well as themselves. And one of the first ones, if not the first one that we covered, was a man by the name of Cain. If you look, by the way, church, and again, we don't have time to teach down all three of these, but the Bible says, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Kor." You know, if God takes three Old Testament characters and puts them in a list like this, you know what? We ought to understand and know who these men are and also be warned of the sin that they committed. See, every one of these men bought into a faulty philosophy. They chose to believe a lie of the devil. And because they believed a lie of the devil and clung on to that lie, then you know what? They caused great damage to the cause of Christ. You think of the way of Cain. We'll cover that this morning. You think of the error of Balaam for reward. You know what's destroying America? Preachers like Balaam that sold out for reward. What do you want me to preach? Pay me enough money and I'll preach whatever you tell me needs to be preached. That's just about destroyed the United States of America. And then you have those that perish in the gainsaying of Kor. The Bible puts the name down as Korah. And you remember him rising up against Moses and questioning biblical authority. If you want to take three things that have inflicted great damage to the cause of Christ, the way of Cain, a faulty salvation, you know what, the error of Balaam, preachers that sold out for money, and then the gainsaying of Kor, men that have risen up in women and congregations against truly called anointed men of God. If you want to take three things that's just about crippled the Church of Jesus Christ, those three things, I think God hit the nail on the head right there. I want to just take the first one, the way of Cain. Let's go back and read the story of Cain. Let's read a little bit about his life. If you'll join me in Genesis chapter number 4, I'm going to sound the trumpet this morning, folks. Listen, I'll go ahead and tell you right now where we're going. I'm an old-fashioned salvation by grace through faith Bible preacher. You try to add any works to that whatsoever, then you're going to contaminate it. And here we have a man, which was the first one in the Bible that decided that a works-based salvation should be accepted by God. This is the way of Cain. And so we read here in Genesis chapter number 4 and verse number 1, we read the story of Cain and Abel. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted, and if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. I wanted you to just hear the story of Cain and Abel and read it uninterrupted without comment. Let's do a little bit of a biography on Cain. Cain was the first child born to the first couple God had created, a man by the name of Adam and a lady by the name of Eve. Another son was born to this first couple. This younger brother of Cain was named Abel. Now, let me just give you an overview, some facts, what we know about these two brothers, and let's consider these things. Both boys were reared by the same parents. Well, obviously, because that was the only set of parents in existence at that time. Adam and Eve raised their sons. Watch this, listen. No doubt they shared with their sons the story of the Garden of Eden. You don't think they maybe shared that with them? Of their fall into sin and of God's mercy that was extended to them. When Adam and Eve sinned, they attempted to cover their shame by crafting aprons of fig leaves. Remember that? But God slew animals. Watch this. God shed blood. This is very important. To replace their attempts with something acceptable that would and could be acceptable to the God of heaven. Coats were fashioned by God from the skins of these sacrificial animals. And because of the shed blood, the first blood sacrifice, Adam and Eve found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, these two boys were raised in a family where the story was told. They were raised in a family. I believe both of them were taught the importance, watch this, of a blood sacrifice. Every once in a while, someone will say, you know what, you Baptist folks have a bloody religion. You better hope so, because, listen, you don't have salvation. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Now, there must be blood shed. All of those Old Testament sacrifices that were made were in anticipation, was by faith looking forward to one day when the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world would come and make the last and thorough and complete blood sacrifice. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, whose birthday we're about to celebrate here. And by the way, that's why we ought to talk it up. It's about Jesus. That's who it's about. That's what Christmas is about. It's about Jesus. And so the blood sacrifice, Jesus came to die. He came and lived a perfect life, and his blood was shed on Calvary, and it takes the shedding of blood in order for sin to be excused. But both boys were reared by the same parents and were taught this story of what happened in the Garden of Eden, their fall into sin, and God's mercy extended to them because of the blood sacrifice. Both boys were raised in the same environment. Now think about that for a minute. You know what? We can't blame a wrong crowd here. Well, why in the world did Cain go bad? Well, he just hung around the wrong crowd. Well, there wasn't any crowd. There were no Hollywood movies to influence them, no public school to blame. Both were taught the same things in the same environment, yet we see that God created these young men, watch this, church, with a free will. With a free will. What does that mean? The ability to choose for themselves what they each would believe and what they each would do with what they were taught. And you know what, folks, here we see the same boys raised in the same home, and yet one chose to obey the Lord and bring a sacrifice that was appropriate, and one chose to disobey the teachings of their parents and go the other direction. You know what? Listen, folks, every single one of you young people will come to age, and every single one of you will make a choice for your life. God has set it up that way. God would have it no other way. You see, God wants you to choose him. He wants you to choose him. But each of these boys were raised in the same environment, but they had a free will. Each of these boys chose, the Bible teaches us, a different career. Cain became a tiller of the ground. Let me just say this, he was a farmer. Abel, and by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with the career choice that he made. Abel was a keeper of sheep, a shepherd. And there was nothing sinful about either one of these choices. Each selected a noble and honorable profession, and both were industrious and willing to work. And by the way, they were raised right in that respect. And we need a lot more of that being taught to our young men as they're being raised today. Let me make one more observation. Each boy reached the age where they needed to establish their own relationship with God. You know what? It's good. It's fine. I'm glad. Listen, young people, you got a Christian mom and a Christian dad. Good for you. By the way, you're blessed. Never, never complain about that. Never complain about that. But you know what? You're going to have to come to an age where you decide that you're going to have a relationship with God for your own self. And you know what? The saying that I say often is that the Lord doesn't have any grandchildren. You know what? He only has children. And you know what? If your mom and dad are saved, that's good. But you know what? You're not going to get to heaven on mom and dad's coattails. You're going to have to be saved. You're going to have to decide to accept the sacrifice that Jesus made. You have to decide to want to have a relationship with the holy God. And the only way that you can have that relationship is by accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now, you say, preacher, here's two boys raised very similarly. They come to age. They choose careers. They seem like they're doing fine. But the time comes when they need to establish their own relationship with God. What was it? The lie. You mentioned that all three of those men back in Jude bought into a lie. What was the lie that Cain bought into? What was the lie or the faulty philosophy that Cain bought into? Listen very carefully, folks. Cain believed, watch this, that God should be obligated to accept the works of his hands as an acceptable sacrifice for sin. Boy, I hope you got that. That's the whole message. Listen to me. What is the way of Cain? The way of Cain is when a man decides that I don't want to come to Jesus. I don't want to come to God the Bible way. I don't want to have to come through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to be able to trust in only what Jesus did on Calvary for the salvation of my soul. What I believe is that I ought to be able to take something that I produce myself, my own works, and I ought to be able to bring my own good works before God and lay them on the altar. And God ought to be willing to accept those the same as he would a blood sacrifice. That's the way of Cain. That's the false religion. That's in Galatians. It's called another gospel, which is not a gospel. It's a false gospel. And anybody that believes that God ought to accept your good works as payment for your sin, and you think that that's going to be good enough for God, you are walking in the way of Cain. And you need to be warned of that. You see, two boys who came of age, and now it was their turn to come to God to establish a personal relationship with him. Abel brought a blood sacrifice. Cain decided that God should accept the works of his hand instead of a blood sacrifice. Could he have gotten a blood sacrifice? Absolutely. Could he have gone to Abel or to his father, who no doubt also had sheep, and said to him, you know what, can I buy or purchase from you a lamb or trade for goods? Because when I go to God, I want to make sure that I go with the blood, and I want to make sure I go the way of the blood. But you know what? Cain sat in his house and he pondered that. And he said, I don't know why God's so strict about this. I don't know why he's so stringent about this. And you know what? It just doesn't make sense to me. I mean, I'm a farmer and these are the works of my hand. This is what my hard work has produced. And if I bring that and make an offering to God, he ought to be willing to accept that. But you know what, folks? You know what? It wasn't good enough for God. You see, what we have here is not just two brothers. We have two religions. We have two belief systems, and here we have them on display side by side. Two gospels, one the true gospel, the one another gospel, which is not another, Galatians 1, verses 6 through 9. We have one that is due and one that is done, one that is works and one that is grace. One, I did it, the other one is God did it. One, I earned it, and the other one, it is finished. It is finished. Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9, for by grace, listen to me, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Are you listening, Brother Cain? That not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now you say, preacher, why in the world would you have listed back then Cain as one of your 13 most notorious villains of the Bible? Because he was the first to introduce a belief system that has probably sent more people to hell than any other satanic philosophy out there. Cain believed this: you don't need the shed blood. God should accept your own good works. Your good works should be enough to get you to heaven. And folks, that is a lie of the devil. That's a lie of the devil. Now God, you say, preacher, what was God's reaction to Cain's sacrifice? I mean, shouldn't God have made some allowance? Shouldn't God have considered the sincerity of the sacrifice? Well, we read in the scriptures here that God rejected Cain's sacrifice. God required a blood sacrifice for the forgiveness of sin. Man's works, however sincere, however noble, can never erase the fact that all men are sinners. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for your soul. Hebrews 9:22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. Matthew 26, verse 27, 28. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but now Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. I like Revelation chapter 7, verse 13. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these that are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Well, folks, listen to me. We can't bypass the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't bypass a blood sacrifice. You say, but preacher, I'm a member of this organization, and we do a bunch of good things for the community, so I want to bring that and hand it over before God and say, God, accept this as payment for my sin, and God will reject that. What was his response here in the scriptures? The Bible says that in verse number 5, but unto Cain and to his offering, speaking about God, he had not respect. He had not respect. And Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 through 5. God's reaction to Cain's bloodless sacrifice was no respect, no acceptance. You come the way of the blood or you don't come at all. So that's God's reaction to Cain's sacrifice. But can I read you the rest of that verse, folks? Watch verse number 5. The rest of the verse, we see Cain's reaction to God's reaction. So we got God's reaction to Cain's sacrifice, and then Cain's reaction to God's reaction. Notice what it says at the end of verse number 5. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now, what he did was he got mad at God. You know, folks, if you come to God with a sacrifice that you think ought to be acceptable to God, and God tells you that it is not acceptable to him, you know what the sane reaction ought to be? You know what the sensible reaction ought to be? To look to a holy God and say, God, if this is not an acceptable sacrifice, then what is an acceptable sacrifice? But no, instead he got mad. You know what, Lord, you need to change. I shouldn't have to change. You need to change. You know, listen, I shouldn't have to change my thinking. You ought to change your thinking. I know not that. I went through a lot of work here, and I sweated over this, and I produced this, and I don't know why you are showing favor to my brother's sacrifice and not favor to my sacrifice. God, that's not fair. You know what? Instead of a proper reaction towards God, you know what he did? He got mad about it. He got mad about it. Look up here, Christians. Let me just help you with that. Let me tell you this. If you and God have a difference of opinion, who's supposed to change their mind? Who's supposed to change their mind? Come on now. You know what we have in today's society? People are more worried about being right than being right. They are. I mean, they want to just be considered right even if they're wrong. And you know what? You preach the Bible nowadays in this soft, thin-skinned society. And you just preach, thus saith the Lord, and somebody doesn't like what it says. And you know what they want? They want the preacher to change his message. They want to go to find some church where they can go to and they don't have to hear about any of that. They want God, literally, what they're saying is this: God, you need to change what you put in your word. I shouldn't have to change the way I view things. I shouldn't have to change the way I live my life. Folks, listen to me. Happy, happy, happy is the Christian that just says, you know what, from time to time, I'm going to read this book, and because I'm a sinner and God is holy, because I'm going through a growing in grace, and I'm not too perfect yet. I'm not perfect yet, but God is perfect. There's going to be times when I'm confronted with things, truths from the Bible that, you know what, doesn't square up with my life. Let me tell you something. Blessed and happy is the person that just has a heart to say, if God and me disagree, he's right and I'm wrong. He's holy and I'm unholy. You know what? He doesn't need to change. I need to change the way I look. I need to change the way I view this. I need to change the way I live. We have a bunch of Christians. I'm talking about not lost people right now. Let me just get over and deal with us Christians for a minute. We got a bunch of Christians that are upset half the time just because God ought to think like you. And you know what? It's not God's business to think like you. It's God's business. Listen, God wants to take us once we're saved and bring us on a path of godliness. Godliness. He wants to take us and make us Christians, Christ-like. He wants to change and transform us. And yet what we have, and we've got them cropping up all over this community, and we've got them all across America, with basically, watch this, I call them golden calf churches. You know what they've done? They've gone to the people and say, how do you want God to be presented, and what do you want God to be? And they say, we want God to be this. Well, we'll go make you a God so that you don't have to change anything, and you can live any way you want to, and you can act like a heathen and still walk around, pat yourself on the back, and say what a good Christian you are. Folks, listen to me. That is not Christianity. That is not the true church of Jesus Christ. And that man behind that pulpit is a charlatan. He's a fake. I'm going to tell you something. He's Balaam. He's sold out. He tells the people lies about God so that they don't have to feel bad about themselves. Let me just help you. I really do want to help you. Listen, there's so much of this book right here that as you read it, you will get blessed and you will become encouraged. And thank God for those portions of Scripture. And when you're down, sometimes it picks you up. And I'm going to tell you, when you're confused, it gives you clarity. But can I also tell you that you cannot have meaningful contact with this book on a regular basis without it pointing out things that are wrong with you and things that are wrong with me? And a lot of people quit reading the Bible, or they quit going to a Bible preaching church. And the reason is they don't want to admit anything's wrong with them. Hey, there's things wrong with Jerry Ross. And there's things wrong with you. And it's about time we came to the Bible and treated it as the Holy Bible. You know why we have all the different translations we have out there? I'm just going to tell you what it is. You know what? It's an attempt to change this book and make it say something different than what it says so people don't have to be offended by it. Oh, no, preacher, that's not it. They're just changing it to make it easier to understand in this day and age. Well, you know what? You haven't done your homework. You haven't studied it out very far at all, because they did not just change the wording. They changed the meaning in so many places and taking out key doctrines of the Bible. You know what it is? The devil's messing around with God's word. Leave it alone. Listen, we don't need to change the Bible. The Bible needs to change us. Whether you understand the thing or not, let me just help you with all of it. Get you, listen, if you don't have one, I get it. Maybe somebody, grandma, your mom, somebody that loved you, was well-meaning, bought you a Bible. Listen, if you're reading along in your Bible as I'm reading in from the pulpit and your wording is different than my Bible, I'm just going to encourage you to do something. Go out and buy you a King James Bible, not a new King James Bible, a regular King James Bible, and just bring it to church and trust it as the preserved, inspired words of Almighty God. Because I'm telling you what, I'm talking about, listen, it would take me weeks to teach this and go through it, but I'm just telling you, I can take you to every other translation, and they haven't just changed the Bible to make it easier to understand. They've changed the meanings of many verses and taken complete doctrines out of the Bible. And what I'm saying, you know what? It's the way of Cain. It's the way of Cain. Listen, why don't we just humble ourselves? Why don't we realize that God's holy, and you know what? We're sinners. Why don't we understand that his thoughts are so far above our thoughts and his ways so far above our ways? Why don't we understand that if we have a disagreement with his word, it's not him that needs to change, it's us that need to change. You know what? God doesn't need at the end of a message to come down to and kneel at an altar and get right. He's always been right. Okay, he's never needed to change. He's always been what he's supposed to be. And so, hey, I'm having a good time this morning. Amen. This is good. I just want to stand up for God. I mean that. I'm so sick and tired of so-called religion. Oh, well, brother so-and-so doesn't agree with you on that. Well, you know what? He's gone the way of Cain. Well, I know a preacher that uses a different Bible. He's not a bad guy. He's gone the way of Cain. Oh, I know a guy that pastors another church, and they believe a little bit different on how to be saved. They're preaching the way of Cain. You say you think you're right and everybody else is wrong. No, I think this book is right, and anybody doesn't agree with it is wrong. For by grace are you saved through faith. Listen, what have you done that you're relying on to get you to heaven? Come on. Well, everybody talk about getting saved, but I don't think I need to be saved. I'm not that bad of a person. You better read Romans chapter number 3. Yes, you are. Excuse me, sir. Excuse me, ma'am. Yes, you are, and so am I. There's not, listen, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not a one of us that measure up. And I don't care, you can do all the good works you want to do, and it's not going to erase the fact that you're a sinner. There's only one thing that pays for sin. It's the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The way of Cain, God's reaction, or Cain's reaction, was a wrong reaction. Think about that. You know what is said there in verse number 7? By the way, look at verse number 7. God in verse number 6 says this. Why art thou wroth? I mean, Cain got mad. That's what it means there. He was very wroth. He got angry. And his countenance fell. I mean, you know what? When you get mad, it shows on your face. Come on, kids. You know, I mean, I've never been one to be able to fake it. I don't know, you know, I just never have. When I'm mad, I look mad. When I'm angry, I look angry. When I'm sad, I look sad. I've just never been. My mom used to say, you might as well say it, Jerry. It's showing all over your face. I mean, you know, I've never been able to. I'd make a terrible actor, you know. I'd be terrible in the theater. That's what it is. And you know what, God, he looked down and saw the look on his face. And by the way, God didn't just see that. He looked into the heart of Cain. He said he saw anger. He saw a fallen countenance. He said, what are you guys to be mad about? What's that look on your face? That's literally what he's saying. What's that look on your face? And then he says in verse number 7, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. By the way, I love this. God's a God of a second chance. Okay, Cain, you brought the wrong sacrifice. And when I did not have respect to it and refused to receive it, you even had not only the wrong sacrifice, you had the wrong reaction. But by the way, God comes down and says, I'm going to confront your reaction. I'm going to make you explain why you have any reason to be mad. I want you to explain why you have a right to walk around with that look on your face. Because you have no reason. I'm God. I set the rules. And you know what? In my economy, in my viewpoint, you know what? If you want to come to heaven, you'll come through the blood. Amen. You know what, folks? God, hey, let God be God. Amen. He decides things. Well, I don't understand why he did it that way. You don't have to decide to understand it. He did. Amen. Well, I just don't know if it just makes sense to me. Well, good night. Remember, his ways are so far above our ways, his thoughts so far above our thoughts. That would be like, watch this, it'd be like a little ant walking up and questioning a human decision. Come on, that's good for it. I like it when it gets quiet. We got this idea that, you know, here's God and his intellect and God and his ways. And yeah, we're not quite there, but we're like here. Oh, no. Oh, no. Folks, listen to me. I wanted to stand up for God. I feel like every once in a while the preacher needs to stand up and say, hey, people, let's get back to where we need to get. I don't care how intellectual you are. I don't care how many degrees you have. I don't care what kind of level of genius you think you've attained. I don't care how much of this earth's wisdom you've accumulated. Let me tell you, when it comes to comparing your intelligence and your thoughts and your ways to Almighty God, I'm being generous to compare an ant to a human. I'm being generous to do that. Listen, God doesn't owe me an explanation. You know what he says? Here's how you go to heaven. Through the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so here comes somebody wanting to do an end run around Jesus and show up with their good works. Well, I don't need the Calvary. I don't need the shed blood. I don't need the blood atonement. I'm just going to come and tell God, hey, I'll tell you what. You all go ahead and go down to the church and get saved. But when I stand before God, I'm going to list off all the great things I've ever done. And God, I'll bet you he's willing to accept that. No, he's not. No, he's not. He's not going to accept. He'll say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Well, I hope this is helping you. Amen. Hey, preacher, I'm a little aggravated. Good. It's good to be aggravated in church every once in a while. That challenges what I believe. Good. Let it challenge what you believe. Amen. Now, Cain here had a wrong reaction. Verse 7, I love this. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be that his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. You know, God actually comes back to Cain. God doesn't have to do this. Doesn't it show you the great heart of God, the great love of God? He brings the wrong sacrifice. It's not a blood sacrifice. It's rejected. He gets an attitude about it. God comes and tries to reason with him. He says sin. You look at that word sin. It means sin offering. He said, listen, there's a sin offering lying at the door of your tent. God made it in such a way so that when Cain went back to his tent, there was a sin offering laying right there at the door. There was a lamb without blemish lying at the door. I've often said this. Wonder how it got there. You know what I think? I think he had a brother that loved him. I think he had a brother that was watching all this play out. I think Abel, when he saw that God didn't have respect to Cain's sacrifice, listen, Abel knew, and so did Cain. They knew the reason why. And I think Abel took that little lamb over there and put it by his door and tied it there on the tent post so that when Cain came back all mad and God's talking to him, he says, look there, right by there. And the Bible says it lieth at the door. You look at that word lieth, it means that it was crouching. It was crouching in such a way as if to spring into his hands, spring into his arms. Good night. Can you not see the grace of God? God's a God with a second chance. Well, preacher, I've spent my whole life believing that what I do and my good works ought to be good enough to get me to heaven. Yeah, and God brought you to Blessed Oak Baptist Church this morning to give you one more chance to tell you, you know what, that isn't going to work and God is not going to change, but there is a blood sacrifice. Jesus loves you and he died on the cross for your sins and he'll save you today, but you're going to come through the blood. You're going to come through the blood or you're not coming. And you know what? Here Cain had a second chance, a second opportunity, and he didn't take that opportunity. Boy, it breaks my heart. You know the promise here? Did you see the promise at verse number 7? At the very end, and unto thee shall be his desires. He's talking about his brother there. And thou shalt rule over him. Listen, he knew that he was having already a problem with Abel. And he said, listen to me, you're the firstborn. Hey, guess what? You know what? Abel can serve you, and he will serve you. And you know what? You're the firstborn. You're going to be in charge of this thing. I believe that God was offering to Cain the opportunity that through his lineage would come the Messiah. And yet, you know what? He was so bullheaded and so stubborn and so mad and so angry that it ought to be God that changes, not him. You know what? He wouldn't accept that sacrifice. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Isn't that something? We see then in verse number 8, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Now, let me just ask you. Say, preacher, why do you think Abel put that at the door? Because they were talking about something. I mean, if somebody's done something and you perceive that you're offended by it, the next time you see him, what do you think you're going to say? And he went out in the field, and there's Cain, there's Abel, and I think Cain started. I'm just telling you what I believe. That lamb came from somewhere. He had a brother that was concerned about it. He had a brother that wanted to see him in heaven one day. He had a brother that said, hey, listen, I've gone through the blood. God's had respect into my offering. Here, I'll help you. But they were talking about something. It says, and by the way, that talk turned into an argument pretty quick, and that argument turned into murder. They were talking about something. And so Cain talked with Abel, his brother. It came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against his brother, Abel, his brother, and slew him. Cain's reaction to God's reaction. Cain's reaction was one of anger. Cain's anger with God affected his outward appearance. God questions Cain and offers him a second chance. Cain's anger then turns against his brother who brought the proper sacrifice. Let me just share this with you. Listen, I'm not trying to be a martyr. I'm not trying to tell you, this isn't poor us. But I'm going to tell you the honest truth. You read church history. And you know what you'll find out? That the works crowd has always persecuted the salvation by grace crowd. They've always done that. Folks, listen to me. You know what? Read about the dark days. Read about the persecution of the Christians. Listen, it wasn't the world chasing down Christians and killing them. It was a church. It was the Catholic Church. Catholic Church has killed more Baptists. You show me anywhere, show me one piece of history where you ever find where a Baptist killed a Catholic. But I can show you volumes where Catholics killed Baptists or people that believe like Baptists. You know what? There's something about hardening your heart to this, something about an insistence that my works ought to be good enough and work salvation. And you know what? It's not just because a hatred towards God because he won't change and accept that. It soon becomes a hatred towards anybody else who believes different than you and who is trusting only in the blood of Jesus Christ. And so next thing you know, Cain and his stubbornness leads to envy, and envy to jealousy, and jealousy leads to murder. The religion of Cain is alive and well, folks. Most churches, listen to what I'm going to say here. Most churches today teach some kind of a salvation through good works, religion. However, in all generations, there's always been those who recognize and preach the truth. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We're either going to come through the blood of Christ or we're not going there at all. Say, preacher, what kind of a terrible price did Cain pay for this wicked philosophy? This is kind of a sad, sad commentary. Cain's unrepentant heart, coupled with his false works-based religion, has cost so many so much. It cost Abel. It cost Abel his life. The hatred and envy of the works-based false doctrine has driven those who embrace it to murder true believers throughout the history of the church. But it didn't just cost Abel, it cost Cain. He lost the opportunity for forgiveness. He chose his false religion over God's grace and mercy. It cost Cain's descendants. Cain flees the presence of the Lord, and an entire civilization springs up, never being taught the truth. Read about that civilization, verse 16 all the way down through verse 24. And it continues to cost millions of people their eternal souls. The works-based salvation religion that started with Cain now covers the globe. Thousands die every day who staked their eternity on what they could do to appease God or their gods, instead of accepting the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they have known naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Let Let me ask you this. It's a fair question at the conclusion of this message. Have you ever been saved the Bible way? Have you ever truly been saved through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you trying to mix works and grace? Well, I believe that we have to trust in Jesus, but I also believe we have to. Wait a minute, stop right there. What else is on that list? This crowd that believes in baptismal regeneration, that's the way of Cain. Well, I believe you got to trust Jesus, but you also have to be baptized. So you want a little work in with the grace. No, it don't work that way. It don't work that way. Well, I believe that you have to be saved, but you also got to speak in tongues. What is the work that you've added to your salvation? Well, I think you have to be saved, but I think you have to be a good neighbor too, and I think you got to hold on faithful to the end. If you don't live a certain way, then what? It's either by grace or it's by works. It's the way of Abel. It's the way of Cain. It's the way of blood. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Or it's the way of works. One way or another, one is true, one is false. One God accepts, one God rejects. One allows you to have the gift of eternal life. One sends you to a devil's hell for all eternity. Have you ever been saved? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray, dear God, Lord, as I have earnestly contended for the faith this morning, I pray, dear God, that you would bring, Lord, through the scriptures, light. Lord, through your Holy Spirit, conviction. And Lord, we pray, dear God, and thank you that through your Son comes salvation. And Lord, these are available to any man, to every man. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that if some have been duped into believing the lie of the way of Cain, if somebody here is sitting there thinking, you know what, I'm going to heaven because I'm anything, because I've done anything, I pray, Lord, that maybe for the first time in their life, true Holy Spirit conviction would come upon them. And Lord, for the rest of the folks, and I think the vast majority of the people in this room that are saved, Lord, may we never, ever for 1 minute take any credit for it. Lord, we were lost and hopeless, and if Jesus had not come, we'd all die and go to a devil's hell. There's no reason to boast. There's no reason to get haughty. There's no reason to think of ourselves above anyone else. The ground is level at the cross. Lord, I pray, dear Lord, that you'd help us just to leave the auditorium this morning, people that are truly saved, with a thankful heart, that God in his great wisdom not only required a blood sacrifice, but sent his Son to be that blood sacrifice. Thank you for Jesus. Jesus, thank you for what you did. Thank you for dying for me. Lord, if there's anyone here without salvation, not saved, I pray they'd be saved today.